everybody. Welcome to another very special live recording of Meeple Skills. This is our 9th episode, coincidentally also the ninth month of the year.
What a coincidence, considering it's a monthly podcast.
Right, an annual monthly podcast. the only podcast without birthdays in September.
That's true. We don't have any September birthdays.
Did you know that September is the most popular birth month?
I did actually know that. It's exactly 9 months after New Year's Eve.
Right, because people get drunk and have unprotected sex. Or protected sex that goes... Anyway, speaking of unprotected and protected sex, welcome to the Not Safe for Work episode of Meeple Skills. We're going to talk about some naughty-ass games. I'm going to use a lot more curse words than normal, which is rather impressive, considering I use quite a few.
And you'll also notice that we are a person down today.
Yes.
Our good friend Minty Fresh Gaming slash Alyssa is not feeling well tonight. Slash Alicia, yeah. Is not feeling well tonight, so she won't be joining us here on the podcast. She might jump into chat, we'll see, but...
Yeah, she fucking better.
She couldn't be here live because she didn't feel very good.
No. What a poor BB. No, that's actually... Fine.
Yeah, it's a legit reason to not be here. Yep. It wouldn't be any fun to have somebody like sneezing and
bow
like being
chicka wow wow in chat. I don't think that's accurate. We are awfully close together today, though. So
yes.
We're on one camera on Jackie's tiny short chair.
It's not fair that he gets the tall chair when he's already taller than me.
That is probably not fair.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
See,
absolutely
we should switch.
Right. We should not. mostly because this microphone is ready for my booming, beautiful voice, while that one is not.
Fine.
So there's that. So we have a very special presentation for you. It's a short interview we did with Nora Jean McIntyre.
Nora Jane.
Nora Jane. God damn it, I did it again.
Yes. Nora Jane McIntyre.
I look a couple feet taller. Accurate.
Great.
But yes, Nora Jane McIntyre of NukeCon. Which will be the very first convention that Meeple Skills will be have a booth at.
We're having a booth and we're sponsoring.
Yes, and we are sponsoring a convention. So if you're in the Omaha area or from out of town in the Omaha and happen to be in that area that first weekend of October, come check it out. But we're going to play that video for you, and we will come back with the rest of the Meeple Skills content. So, chill. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second Meeple Skills interview. We are here with Nora Jane McIntyre, the convention coordinator for NukeCon. She's been in this position for the last 15 years and been helping offering a weekend of gaming in the Omaha area. Thank you for joining us.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yes, this is awesome. I'm very excited for this convention. So how long have you been the convention coordinator for NukeCon?
I was actually calculating that this afternoon. I know since at least 2001, with maybe 1 or 2 years somebody else stepped in, but that's a long time. That it feels like my baby.
I would imagine so after putting that much work into it, because coordinating convention is not an easy task.
There's a lot of details.
Yeah, even the smallest convention, like from the smallest convention to your Gen Cons, like... It's almost the same amount of decisions.
You know, have you ever packed for a weekend and then packed for a whole month and realized that it's almost the same?
Yeah, exactly.
So, same thing.
Oh my goodness. Oh, sometimes just the marketing stuff for Meeple Skills gets me overwhelmed.
There is a lot to do and a lot of different kinds of skills to put to exercise. These skills you didn't even know you had. And if you don't have them, you got to acquire them.
That is very true.
That's enough. Now I have all three of them on the floor here.
They want to know what you're doing.
Yeah, of course. Like a two-year-old.
Pretty much.
They're like, why aren't you paying attention to me?
You're kind of like that too sometimes.
Shh, it's fine. Everything's fine. So how did NukeCon get started?
Sometime in the early 90s, there was a group of people who just liked playing games. And my understanding, I was not in Omaha at the time, so this is a secondhand story, but I understand that they used to get together, you know, on Saturdays or whatever and play games, and they would rotate through who was going to run what game what week. Eventually, they decided they wanted to share that with other people. and they pooled some money. I think some of them borrowed some money from his mom and rented a couple of hotel rooms, and that was NewCon.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Humble beginnings, for sure.
Very.
That's awesome.
Very. And clearly it's something that the community wanted.
Yeah.
Because every year we've been a little bit bigger every year since then.
Yeah, I was actually wondering, because they have been talking that board gaming continues to get more and more popular, and I was wondering if you'd seen a significant spike in attendance over the past, like, 5 to 10 years, or if it's just been a steady incline.
I wouldn't say we've had a spike in attendance, because ours has been a fairly steady growth, some years more than others. What I have seen is a serious change in the kinds of games that people bring.
Hmm.
I know how our convention works, is that the vast majority of our programming is gamers who want to play a game elect to put that game in our schedule. They'll come to us and they'll say, I want to run a game of Ticket to Ride, or I want to run a game of D&D. And so they put it in the schedule, and everybody else comes and plays or doesn't play. Over the years, we've seen minis come and go, miniature gaming. When I first started with NewCon, role-playing games and individual onesie role-playing games was really big.
Hmm.
You could get a game in almost any genre. And over the years, it's changed so that now the role-playing is 75% maybe of it, and that's a guess, but it's an educated guess. Is organized play. There is still some individual role-playing adventuring. There is now a lot of board games, and that explosion has happened within the last 5 years.
Wow. I was gonna say, I've noticed it just in my community here in Kansas City. It feels like even in the last 2 years, I've seen a lot more people with interest in the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
hobby in general or board gaming?
Board gaming in general, but I guess I should say the hobby in general, because I know a lot of people, I've had a lot of coworkers reach out to me and say, I want to try RPGs, I want to try Dungeons and Dragons. And so I've started a lot of one-shot adventures with my coworkers just because they heard about it online, or they have family who have tried it and they're like, I just want to know what it's about.
Right. When we started playing, my husband is the one who started in the family, started with RPGs. He was in the Air Force. It's a very popular downtime military service activity.
Uh-huh.
That makes
even
sense.
Even in the 80s when he started, and we didn't talk about it because it wasn't respectable. Well, that's changed now.
Yeah.
It's mainstream now.
Yeah, thanks, Internet.
Yeah. Yes.
That is so awesome. I'm so glad it's mainstream now.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So are there any charities that NewCon is supporting?
We support a charity every year. Over the years, it's been different kinds of charities. We have a very popular, very famous zoo here in Omaha called the Henry Dorley Zoo. And for a long time, we supported that one. This year, and for the last 2 or 3 years, we have supported the Extra Life movement.
Nice.
And I believe it's Extra Life Omaha Guild is the local movement, and the hospital that they raise funds for is Children's Hospital, and I wrote down the name. Do you have it there?
Oh, yes.
I wrote down the full name.
The Omaha Life Children's Hospital and Medical Center.
Thank you. I don't know how much we'll raise for them, but we'll do our best.
That's awesome. You know, as someone who's in the online gaming community, that Extra Life charity is something that's really big. So I have a lot of friends that have done like their, they'll do like 24-hour live streams of them playing games and raising money for Extra Life. So that's one of my favorite charity organizations. So that's good.
Well, that's how Extra Life started, was gamers who wanted to do something. I think one of their children got sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a natural fit. We're playing games anyway. Let's
exactly.
Help the kids out.
Exactly. That's awesome.
And it is true. I am willing to pay money to play games, especially really long games that I can't normally get my friends to come over and play with me.
Right. We got a couple people like that here, too.
All right. So what new games are you trying out this year?
I don't have a lot of time to play games during the weekend.
That's the unfortunate part of being, you know, part of the convention staff, right, is you don't actually get to play.
we make a real effort to encourage the staff to get out from behind the desk and get at least a couple of games in every convention with, you know, moderate success. I have a long-running, this is more than 15 years now, Mask of the Red Death RPG that I run with the same troop of people, and it's the same adventure that's been going on all these years.
Wow.
So that's my gaming for the weekend. And the rest of it is the live-action game of let's make the convention run.
Yeah, absolutely. It is like a game sometimes, and you're just really hoping to get enough victory points at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, you find the obstacles, overcome the obstacles.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot the bad guys.
So for this RPG you've been running for all these years, is that something you just do at NukeCon, or is that something you run outside of the convention as well?
Just at NukeCon.
Oh, so it's a NukeCon exclusive, so you gotta be there to participate.
It is. And as I said, it's the same troop of people, so I give preference in seating to the people who have played those same characters the year before. Sure. And it's been very fun. One year, we did almost no dice rolling. I don't know what it was, but everybody was in the mood to role play.
Oh, yeah.
And we did. And by the end, and we play it Saturday night, late Saturday night, because, you know, it's a horror game. Yeah. By the end of that night, we were all exhausted. We were, like, euphoric, but exhausted.
Of course, as those sessions tend to go.
Those are my favorite sessions, when everybody's playing off of each other so well. Yep. So great.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So what are some things you'd like to see more of at NukeCon?
More gamers. Always more gamers, because we want to grow. I would like to see more miniatures and miniatures tournaments, because apparently I don't do minis. So I can only watch other people and try and understand what they're doing. But it seems to me that that's the way the minis games happen, it's always some kind of a tournament anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working to get some more of those tournaments at the convention.
Sure.
I would like to see more one-off RPGs. So we need to find the people in our group that still run those and encourage them to come and play. But then you also have to find gamers for those tables.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'd like to see it go. And more people.
Yeah, I know a lot of those miniature war games too. It's, you know, they're an investment, so the people who are playing those things are heavily invested in that game and want to see it succeed. So if you get the right people kind of pushing towards that for the convention, I think you know, you're going to get some dedicated players at those kinds of things.
And you have to, we're still working on this too, you have to make the connections with the publishers who work through the game stores to get the tournaments at the right time of the year.
Yep.
And NukeCon being late in the year is a little handicapped that way.
Sure.
We're gonna have to find the right game to fit our convention.
For sure.
Oh yeah, I can see how that'd be a huge undertaking in order to make that happen. I know that
another obstacle.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the local gaming stores in Kansas City runs a Song of Ice and Fire miniatures game.
Ooh, uh-huh.
Yeah, and like the brackets for that are insane, because it's only two players, so you can only have two people at a time, and apparently they'll play till like 4 a.m. because they have so many people involved. Uh-huh. It's like, oh geez.
There was a time when we ran a 24-hour convention over the 3 days of the convention.
Oh wow.
And at one point the staff started having kids and having to go home to the kids and then get up in the morning with the kids. And we just decided we didn't want to do that anymore. So we play enough till 2 and then we get some sleep.
Fair enough. I think most people are able to relate to that feeling and are understanding of it. But I also can imagine there's just a few people standing out around the convention be like, why are we closing now? We're not done yet.
No, that's usually Sunday afternoon with the organized play people.
Oh, I bet.
Gotta get that last goal in. Gotta get that last, get that last box.
That's people are great. Throwing their dice more aggressively as though it's going to make the game finish up in time.
Well, you gotta throw your dice faster. The math gets all messed up, but it's still, you know.
It's fine. It's fine. You only have to count to 20. Everything's fine.
No.
When we first started playing D&D, we had small children, and I think our youngest kid was 5 at that time, and it was second edition with Thaco.
Oh, God.
So you didn't know whether you needed a high number or a low number.
Yep.
And you had to do adding and subtracting in both ways, all the way down your character sheet to come to an answer.
Yep.
This is how our youngest kid learned arithmetic.
Absolutely. I was going
to
say.
And that's how both of our kids learned to read and to read technical books, because those rule books are not easy.
No, they are not. I, as, again, an adult with an English degree, sometimes have to read a paragraph again to really understand what it's trying to say.
Don't you wish they would hire someone who could make an index?
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh my goodness, we struggled so hard with Starfinder. It was just like, what is this? Where is this? Why did you separate these two things that are related by 100 pages?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yep. You know, the mods are written the same way.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of understand it, because they have to get so much information to the GM to make it flow. But I've never read a commercial mod that I thought was where the information flowed in a way that made sense to me.
Right.
Never have seen one.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
Me neither. Of course, I usually make him read everything, and that's then fair. I just play. Mm-hmm. So are there any new games that are coming out this year that you're particularly excited for?
Always new board games. We have my husband's sitting on the other end of the room, and he's kibitzing. We have one of the events vendors, one of our supporting people is the game library Have Game Will Travel.
Ooh.
And he brings like 500 games. So that's, and a lot of those are play to win. And he will have the latest of the games on the market, play to win. I don't myself know what they are, but he'll have them.
That's awesome.
Pathfinder 2.0 is there, so that's new this year.
Yeah.
And we've got a special guest, John Compton, who is one of the Paizo writers.
Oh, wow.
So I was just looking at his schedule today. He's going to run games. He's going to play in a couple of games. He's going to conduct a couple of seminars. And he's going to tell us some more about what Pathfinder or what Paizo has in the near future coming on. So that's kind of fun.
That's awesome.
That is really cool.
Let's make sure we get an interview with him, too.
Definitely.
Yeah. He'll be open to that. However, I would recommend you check his schedule.
Yeah,
for
sure.
He's going to be pretty busy.
Let me see. So I think what we have left on our list of questions is, what should first-time NukeCon goers know about the convention?
When I started writing this, we were just having people gathering for a meeting last night. So I read that out loud. And, oh, you would not believe, just suggestions came pouring in. I think the first suggestion was show up at Reg, which is right by when you first walk into our convention, and ask questions. There is nobody on our staff, and our staff wears bright pink vests when they're on duty, so you know who they are. And there's nobody on our staff who will brush you off. If you have a question, we'd love to answer it for you. Sometimes it's more answer than you want. Be careful about the question that you ask. One of the guys made a point that there is a lot to do. And if you're coming to a convention for the first time, it looks overwhelming. But that's when you grab a staff person. Let them know what kind of thing you want to get into. Do you want to play a board game? Do you want to play an RPG? Staff people help you find the game to get into. We have a game reg. In addition to people reg, we have a game reg area. And the game reg people have the schedule. They help to build the schedule. They know what's there. So they'll help people get into a game too. So they can do that. We do have food. So mostly food trucks, but we'll have snacks and drinks inside. Bring water, wash your hands, and just prepare to have a good time.
That sounds good. And
you summed up basically first time ever going to any convention that
really?
I've been to, especially the wash your hands part.
Yes.
Don't spread the con crud.
I do have a kind of a side thing that I can suggest.
Absolutely.
Two or three times during the year, we run game days. We call them aftershocks. We have one that's going on its 10th year, I think, maybe something like that, at one of the high schools here, they have a game club. So we partner with the game club and put on this aftershock. It's very low key. One day, 12 a.m. or 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. You pay $5 at the door. You walk into the school library and you look for a game that you want. That's a really good way to get into a convention, to begin to know what it looks like and how to manage it.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect. Awesome. But yeah, I always like to ask that question because there have been conventions that I have gone to and it wasn't 100% clear where the registration desk was. And it also wasn't 100% clear whether or not I could get into games at the convention or if I had to be pre-registered for those things.
Right. Well, for us, you have the choice. You can buy your badge ahead of time or you can buy your badge at the door. You can register for a particular game ahead of time if you've already bought a badge, or you can register for the game at the game reg desk at any time. Or you can always just walk up and, you know, ask if there's an open seat. Those are all available to you. And with rare exception, there are no table fees. If we're doing a charity event, there'd be a, you know, you pay to get into the charity event. If there's this particular tournament, there might be a tournament fee. But for the most part, once you buy your badge, the rest of it is free.
And that's one of the things I love the most about local conventions is that most of them are set up to be a lot more laid back like that and make it way easier to be like, hey, there looks like there's an open seat here. Can it be filled by me?
We got into the convention gig on the East Coast where every table has a fee.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a badge and then it's another $1 to get into a table, maybe two, maybe three, depending on the game. It's probably up to 10 by now for whatever. So I really like it that we don't have that. And I think that's a Midwestern tradition.
I think so too. And it'll probably be sticking around for a while too.
Yep.
It's also a Midwestern thing to make sure that everybody has food. I don't understand why the coasts are so against feeding people. It's like they'll stay longer if they have food.
Oh, they will. And Mountain Dew.
Yes. A con essential.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I actually do think that the only time of year that I drink a Mountain Dew is at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's actually a thing. just thinking about it right now, I was like, I think the last Mountain Dew I had was at Origins.
So thank you so much for joining us, Nora Jane. Is there anything else everyone should know about NukeCon and what's coming up this year?
Yes. Pre-reg, so the cheaper badges are available through the 14th of September.
Yeah.
So you'll have a couple of days after the podcast drops. Is that the right phrase?
Close enough.
Okay. Yeah. You have a couple of days yet to get your pre-reg ticket. We do, of course, have tickets at the door after that. You can buy a weekend ticket. That's the best value. Or if you're only going to come for Saturday, we have a price just for a Saturday ticket or a Sunday ticket. And I think that covers it.
All right.
Awesome. And where can people check out NukeCon, whether it be on social media or online?
We have a fake Facebook page. Nuke-con.com is our URL. Or weekendofgames, all one word, .com. You can find us there, too.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure if you are in the Omaha area or going to be around from out of town to check out NukeCon. And what are the dates for NukeCon? Because I was going to say them and then realized I don't have them in front of me.
October 4th and 5th and 6th, 2019.
Perfect.
At the Ramada Plaza, Omaha, 72nd and Grover.
Oh.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm so excited to go.
Thank you. So are we. Glad to have you. Excited to have you.
And we're back. We switched spots.
I'm tall.
For now.
I'm the tallest person in this room, even though my feet don't actually touch the floor from here. But this chair is actually incredibly comfortable. I think we should get like multiple chairs like this.
If I sit up, we're the same height. Yeah, so that was our interview with Nora Jane from NukeCon. Talk a little bit about that convention in Omaha. Again, first convention ever sponsored by the Meeple Skills Podcast. We will be there all weekend to give you everything board gamey. that you could possibly want. Okay, so now into the meat and potatoes of this episode. We are talking about not safe for work games. We'll start off. We'll go ahead and just get started.
Yeah.
Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards Melee at Mushroom Marsh. Our first game of the night is one that looks like it was created while under the influence of magical mushrooms. Well, that's because the theme of this game is wizards battling it out in a psychedelic realm. This is a card-driven game where players get 8 spell cards that they will use to create 2 to 3 sections of a spell. The maximum hand size is 8 spell cards, and there are 2 other card decks. One is a treasure deck, and the other is a death deck. Players get treasures if they play a spell that allow them to get one, and these treasures can help protect them from the other wizards. The death cards are drawn by players as they are eliminated from the rounds, and then when a wizard kills off another wizard, they get a tiny kill token worth 1 victory point. Play continues with people casting spells and drawing cards until there's only 1 wizard left standing. The wizard left gets a large round winner token, also worth 1 point. After 3 rounds, points are counted and the person with the most wins. This game is not safe for work because the content on the cards is very overtly sexual and actually just kind of gross in a lot of cases, and a bit gory.
Definitely so.
So we're going to discuss this game a little bit. Is it over here? Do we have it?
No, I can't actually show you this game because this was the game owned by Alyssa, and she was going to bring it tonight, but she is not feeling well, so she is not here. So we do not have a copy of the game.
Disappointed!
But if you want to Google it, it's Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards Melee at Mushroom Marsh.
I said that already.
I know, but I wanted to say it again. Because I can.
Fair enough. So this game, yeah, it's got, does that link you put in here, does that have any of the cards on it?
Honestly, the bottom one, the Amazon one, is the only one I could find that actually talked about or actually showed pictures of the cards.
Okay, click on that because I would like to read off some of these cards.
They're a little insane. There we go.
Okay, so zoom in on that.
Yep.
All right, so I'm just going to read off one of these spells they've put together for the Amazon promotional image. Rum and Stiltskins, Gruntin' Runtin' Murder Merkin. Now, I don't know if everyone in chat knows exactly what a merkin is, but it's a pubic wig, and that's freaking gross. Yeah. The Gruntin' Runtin' card we're not going to show on Twitch because it's unsettling.
I'm really surprised that they have that on Amazon, actually.
I know, because it's 2 dogs just going at it.
They don't even look happy.
No, they're not pleased about going at it. They're grunting, runting. Kind of like my honeymoon. Not safe for work.
Okay, we're going away from that.
I really
that.
Hope
the
you're not
spell
listening to this at work.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the recording. Thing.
Yeah, the other spell that they have on here is...
Can I say this one?
But you got to say the last one.
I'll let you say the third one.
Fine.
All right, this one is Booberina's Phantasmic Titty Twister.
And so these cards, along with having these outrageous names, each part is a card. So like Booberina is a card, Phantasmic is a card, and then Titty Twister is a card. And then each one of those has abilities. So you put each of those cards together to make a full spell, and you use the spell to try to kill the other wizards in the game. This game for me is honestly not one of my favorites. Like, I liked it, and it's a lot of fun. And one of the things I appreciate about this game is this is one of the party games on our list for tonight that I feel like you can have fun playing without being under the influence of another substance.
Oddly enough, I was going to say the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that this game is more fun if you are just nearly blackout drunk, which I was not.
I mean, it would still be really fun if you were drunk. I was just saying, I think it's fun without being drunk or high or whatever. Although this one might be really, really good high. I'm not entirely sure.
We wouldn't know.
But the pictures, like the art on here.
Say no to drugs.
Yes, say no to drugs. But the art on here is very much like,
you know, definitely. It reminds me, it's a little Rick and Morty looking
it
art.
It is very Rick and Morty looking art.
So I'm wondering if maybe there's some similar artists involved or something.
It easily could be because it's Cryptozoic Games. And Cryptozoic, I think, does some of the Rick and Morty games.
Really?
Not all.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm not positive on that one. Which also reminds me, I don't know if anyone remembers the show that was on Adult Swim for a while called Super Jail, but that show was all kinds of levels of fucked up, and the art is very much reminiscent of that style as well. So if you're into that type of humor and graphic imagery, this might be the game for you. Why don't you read that last spell?
I'm not sure I want to.
You want me to?
Sure.
My pleasure.
I don't want to read it.
It is Wizard Wacken Staff Forfeiting Flaming Anus. So, yeah, General Pillage in chat says, yeah, Cryptozoic does all of the Trick and Morty games. He corrected himself. It's okay. No need to.
Trick and Morty games. I thought so. I was pretty sure.
Yeah, so there could be some similar artists involved. But yeah, so it's that kind of art style. All right, go back to our notes.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, game solid. 1 out of 10. How do you feel about it?
I guess I would still give it a... Honestly, I'm probably going to give this one a 5. Because it is a very solid game. It's a great party game. But it's just... It's all over the place. And it's very luck of the draw, what you get. I also don't really like that if you... kick someone out of the game, that's one victory point. And then on top of that, if you win the entire round, that's still only one victory point. So whether you win the whole round or whether you just kick individuals out, you still only get 1 point. And because of that, Player 3 and General Pillage actually ended up almost tying one of our games because Player 3 had killed most of the wizards, but General Pillage had won most of the rounds. So it just
he's a nerd.
Yeah, he's a nerd like that. He plays for the long game.
Nerd. N1 has a joke for us in chat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't believe that someone broke into their garage and stole their limbo stick. How low can you go? Thank you for that, N1.
Thank you. I appreciate that joke.
So did you say 1 out of 10?
Yeah, I said it was 5.
5? Yeah, I think that's where I'd put it. Pretty much same reasons. I didn't get to play it as much as you did, but I mean, it's pretty easy to kind of get how it's going to go.
Yeah. I also did not win a single one of these games. Well, I don't think I was even able to murder anyone.
Well, so where would you put it on the saltiness scale?
Ooh, for me, it's like an 8.
An 8?
It's like an 8.
That's really high.
That is really high because it made me very salty, which might be part of the reason it got a 5 on the like it scale.
Is it because... Well, see, you're supposed to be objective and keep those separate in your rating.
It's still an 8.
Wow.
Because, yeah, it's just so much luck.
This episode brought to you by Owen Wilson. Wow.
That happened. Okay. So... Yes, yeah, 8 on the saltiness scale because it's just, like, so much trickery and trying to kill each other, and you can't actually, like, hold on to anything. Like, the treasure and the beasts, like, help you, are supposed to help you prevent from getting hit or at least give you another buffer, but those can go away so easily. And a lot of the cards, like, even though it also helps you hit other wizards, it also hits yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
that's just the thing about chaotic nipple magic, you know?
It is chaotic nipple magic. That's the best description of this game I have heard.
Yeah, well, that's why these companies need to hire me for their marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
What about you, hon?
You know, it made me pretty salty, actually. The saltiness for me is high. I'd put it at about a 7 or an 8 as well, but for a different reason.
Okay, what's your reason?
Everything's only worth a point.
That is a little, yeah, that is annoying.
I do not like that, Sam. I am.
That's just why I downgraded it on the like it scale. I didn't,
yeah.
That didn't up no, it that, for me on that the saltiness.
That adds the saltiness scale because you can have an absolutely bonkers, badass play and you get 1 point.
Yep.
And then you beat everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you get 1 point. Also, someone didn't explain to me very well how the rounds worked, so I spent the entire portion of the game that I played confused, and then someone got mad at me for being confused, so I wasn't quite sure what was going on.
That person sounds rude.
I know they do. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
It was her.
It wasn't me. I would never do anything
don't
like
let
that.
Let her sweet face
I would never do anything
distract
like
you
that.
From the truth, chat. Don't let her do it. Okay, so the next game on our list is, so backstory
and
here.
We have this one.
We yes, we do have this one. We'll get to that in a second, but we're going to tell a story first. Story time on Ethan's podcast. I mean, Meeple Scales. Okay, so here's the deal with Sparkle Kitty Knights. When this game was announced on a particular crowdfunding platform that I'm mad at right now, and that's all I'm going to say on the matter, I got to hear about it, like, every single day. So, naturally, we backed it. And then, I got to hear about it every single day until it was funded. And I was like, great, this is good. Mm-hmm. And then, I got to hear about it, like, every day until it arrived at our door, like, a year later. So, needless to say, I was very excited when the saga of this game ended. And that game is Sparkle Kitty Knights. Who makes that one?
Breaking Games.
Breaking Games. Sparkle Kitty Knights, which is a spiritual successor, right, to Sparkle Kitty? Because it's not like a sequel or anything. Like, it's not...
No, it's basically just the adult version of Sparkle Kitty. Yeah, yeah.
So, Sparkle Kitty is a game designed for children?
No. Sparkle Kitty is designed for children. Sparkle Kitty Knights is not.
It's the grown-up version. Now, as far as I know, it was only put out exclusively on said crowdfunding platform.
Actually, it is now available, reason I was okay with putting it on the podcast. Biggest reason I haven't covered this earlier is because it wasn't available general retail forever. I think they
exclusive
finally...
Exclusive to the crowdfunding platform.
I think they mass released it at Gen Con this year.
Oh, nice.
So now it is available, but I think you still have to order it directly off their website. I don't think it's on Amazon. I haven't seen it at any local gaming stores, and my guess is that since Breaking Games really focuses on family-friendly games, that they are making it that you have to go look for it. That way, parents don't accidentally pick this up for their kids. Would be my best guess as to why you kind of have to go look for it.
Yeah. Okay. So, if you're familiar with that children's card game, this is, again, the adult version. No more saving princesses from towers. Princesses have saved themselves, and the brave knights that were trying to save them are now trapped in a tower and need to escape. It's another card-driven game where each player takes the role of a naughty or nice knight or a dragon. The dragons are for games with an odd number of players. Your character makes up a spire card in a player's tower. Three additional cards are placed below the spire card to make up the body of the tower. Then each player is dealt five cards. The cards have a color, a symbol, and a word on them. Players take turns placing a card that matches either the symbol or color on the keyhole deck. You're a keyhole deck. Which is split into two piles. The player then has to shout out the compound word created, and if you forget to shout out the word, you have to add another card to the tower. Goal is to get your knight and your team's knights out of the tower before anyone else, and if you have an odd number of people, you can play with one person as the dragon, and that person has to escape their own tower, then steal the last card from another player's tower, basically devouring that knight. The game is not safe for work because the words on the cards have questionable connotations. So let's discuss some of these cards, why don't we?
Yes, definitely.
Because this is 90% of the fun of this episode is just reading the shit that's on these cards.
Definitely. So,
all right. Cuddle. It's innocent enough. One. Yeah. Snatch, which of course means to steal.
And then you would play these on two different piles, so right. You would have
They're coming against the green screen.
Sorry. It was a green one.
Yep.
So now it's a cuddle snatch.
Yeah, so now you have a cuddle snatch.
And you have to say that out loud. You have to one of these. If you don't shout it, then it adds a card to your tower, and you are further away from winning.
Right. So, cuddle snatch, what do we have? Is that floppy sausage?
It is a floppy sausage.
Floppy sausage. So we got to watch out for floppy sausage. And what I've noticed is that most of the cards in and of themselves aren't really that inappropriate.
Yeah,
as far as words, but people have dirty minds, and then there are a couple like pleasure wiggle.
Yeah.
I was thinking we could do that later.
Anyway,
do the pleasure wiggle.
But no, these cards don't actually say anything that's that bad. It's like this one, if you look at them one at a time, it's like this just says moist.
Right.
For all of those out there who hate the word moist. It's now on your screen.
Moist. ASMR moist. Yep. And then, donkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the modifier cards you can get, though, there's some on there that are
those are inappropriate.
Because there's one that makes you say, you have to say fucking
yep.
every time. I saw one that was not, you went, you scroll past knob and taco. I thought knob taco.
Oh, here we go. Here's some of the
All right, so extras. These modifier cards.
This is a modifier card. So that means you have to yell dirty before you yell the other two words.
Right, so I'd have to say dirty taco knob.
Yep.
What else we got? Glistening taco knob. Glistening knob taco, either way.
Yep. There's their swear word.
Yeah, so that's fucking. So then I have to say fucking knob taco. What's that one? Slippery knob taco.
Slippery knob taco. So yeah, that's basically in essence.
Slippery, sloppy knob taco.
Yes, and then there's one in here that looks like moist. A mirror, which I'm not going to show on the camera because it's not going to look right. And basically that means you have to say everything forwards and backwards. So it'd be a knob taco taco knob.
Or a fucking knob taco taco knob.
Fucking. You'd still have to say the
Do you have to say it? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you gotta say it. Say it both ways.
Nice. So yeah, so that is the gist of Sparkle Kitty Nights. Now, Jackie, I kind of led up with how in love with this game you were before it came out. What are your thoughts of after playing it?
I still absolutely love this game. This is my favorite party game. It's difficult. You can adjust it so that you can play it with two people. It's not really designed to be a two-person game.
Which is code for it's not fun.
It's still fun with two people. It's just not as fun. We just did it so that you had to, you added more levels to your tower, because otherwise if you only put three levels below your spire in a two-person game, it's going to be over in like 10 minutes.
Bam, bam.
So we just put five there, made it a little bit longer, helped a lot. But yes, it is definitely more fun with a full group. You can technically play with three, way more fun with 4 to 6 players because you play on teams. And then it makes a lot more sense using the mirror cards, because the other part of the mirror cards, or the advantage that they give you, is that you're able to look at other people's knight and see Moist. Whether or not they are a naughty or a nice, or if you have Moist. An odd number of people, whether or not they are the dragon.
Or if they're moist.
Or if they're moist. And so that is a lot more fun. It's a lot more shenanigans when you have a bigger group, because you have to figure out who is what, and there are some cards that would let you trade out your knight, so you might switch sides. So it's just a lot happening all at once, and I absolutely adore it, and it's so goofy. And yes, the words can be a little naughty, but it's really Moist. Not that not Moist. Safe for work.
Oh.
Will you stop saying that? I was like, so this, I still highly recommend this game. Seek it out. Go to breakinggames.com to be able to order it, because I think everybody should have this game, honestly.
Wow, so I'm gonna guess that's a 10.
It's a 10. This is my number one party game.
Wow. Wow, okay. I actually just realized how inappropriate the side of that box looks.
Yep.
Boing.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know if I would give it a 10, but I'd give it a solid 8.5 or 9.
Okay,
because I still think that my favorite party game of all time is Cards Against Humanity.
I mean, it's really good game, and right, it's really solid.
It's really hard to top that when it comes to card-based party games. Because I see these games as I am already drunk and playing these with people. And it's usually groups of people. You know, I would refuse to play this game with less than 4 people. But yeah, so it's still very high on the scale for me. Saltiness?
For me, it is like a 1 on the saltiness scale, because to me, it's too goofy, and it's a cute kind of goofy.
It's really hard to get mad at this game.
Yeah, it's so hard to get too mad about it. I would say that when you're playing with an odd number of people and you have the dragon as part of it, that might make people salty, because you would think, oh, I only have 1 level left, and then I'm out of this tower, and then the dragon eats you. That would suck. So I was like, that would be the only thing I can think of that would even cause a little bit of salt.
Moist. this is going to be the least downloaded episode of the podcast.
It is. There's so many people out there who hate that word. Will you stop that?
No. Hey, there we go. Tisby knows what's up. Okay, so I think we can move on to the next one.
Yeah, I was just... there was something else I was going to say, and I'm trying really hard to remember what it was.
You should have put that in the notes.
I should have, but I don't remember. But
if you think of it later.
Yeah, I'll come back.
Okay, so moving
on. Put this one back.
Sparkle Kitty Knights. Oh, wait, no, it's just regular Knights.
Yeah, it just says Knights.
All right, so next up is probably my favorite cards on this list. It's another card game, because those are the easiest ones to make.
Into party games.
So, Unstable Unicorns, Not Safe for Work expansion. So, if you are an avid listener to the Meeple Skills podcast, you will know that we have covered Unstable Unicorns in the past. But today we're focusing completely on the Not Safe for Work expansion. This hilarious addition to the already witty Unstable Unicorns game doesn't alter the gameplay, just adds new cards such as the White Wasted Unicorn and the Bear Daddy Unicorn. The expansion is added to the base set, a baby unicorn assigned to each player, 5 cards handed to the players. Each person draws a card and plays a card on their turn. First person to 6 or 7 unicorns, depending on the number of players, wins. The expansion did add alternate drinking and potential stripping rules. T-Turtle has recently published a Not Safe for Work base game for Unstable Unicorns, but at this time we are not able to find the card list, and I'm not sure what those differences are. The game is very not appropriate for young children or your lunch hour coworker gaming group. The expansions are not safe for work because of the content and art. So there's the Wasted White Unicorn. Kind of hard to see there, but there we go. But yeah, very wasted, dancing at the club. Do we have the... Oh, yes, here's the Horny Flying Unicorn, a.k.a. me.
Right.
No, wait, there's another one that's like...
I had one out here. There it is.
Yes.
This one makes me giggle.
Yes, this is the best one. It is not a unicorn, but in fact, a horse with a dildo on its head.
Everybody, so. And I think the flavor text is, sometimes a horse just needs to feel a little special.
Yeah, well, it's very special, that's for sure. And then also, the baby unicorn cards are fucking hostile.
They are horrible!
I love it. There's one I legitimately can't look at because it makes me sad.
Which one is that?
That's the one that's outside the dumpster.
Yeah, that's the one that got me, too.
Yeah, like, I legitimately nearly tear up every time I look at
it. It's so horrible.
It is fucking hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Terribad.
Terribad. Let's see. See if I can find it quickly. There it is.
He's got a little banana peel on his head, and he's just been abandoned.
Yeah, it's...
All right, put that shit down.
Pretty horrible.
I don't want to look at that.
I know, it's actual real sad.
God, I'm tearing up.
I know, here
this
it goes.
Is Dale's fault. But yeah, so that is a little a peek at Unstable. Oh, is this one?
Yep, so this is the actual, hold
yes.
it this way. This is what the box looks like
yes.
for the actual expansion.
Dale, don't cry. I love you, buddy.
It's real sad.
But yeah, so the game itself, we've talked about it before, so we're probably going to spend too much time on it, but
yeah, exactly.
Gameplay itself is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what we rated it in the last episode. I wasn't smart enough to go back and research.
I know. I think we rated it like a 7 and 8.
Something
like
that.
Because it's basically very, very watered down Magic the Gathering.
Right.
It's got a stack and everything.
Yeah. So we'll skip the like it scale, skip the saltiness scale. We don't really need to spend the time on that for this game.
Yeah, it doesn't really make it more salty just because the cards are funny.
Well, and that's the thing is none of the cards do anything absolutely ridiculous to the game.
Exactly.
But if you play by your alternate drinking game or stripping game rules, that can obviously add things. As far as the actual mechanics of the cards, it doesn't alter the game a lot.
Exactly. So we will go ahead and move on to 5 Second Rule Uncensored.
5 Second Rule Uncensored. So 5 Second Rule by itself, the censored version, is, the rules are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You have 3 subjects... You have to name 3 of a thing.
Yes.
In less than 5 seconds. Easy enough, right? Well, this one, uncensored, makes it a little more difficult because you have to think of things that are... Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, you really don't.
But
it's
it
just
makes
that
it,
the topics are...
Yeah, the topics are very, very not safe for work. So categories such as name 3 actors that would be good in bed... and a timer that tracks exactly 5 seconds. A member of one team reads category to the other team, and they have to try and come up with an answer before time runs out. And again, very not safe for work because there are some more explicit themes. Why don't we play around?
Play around? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the...
Oh, yes. That annoying ass timer. Oh, Jesus.
It makes noise.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So hold up just a second. I'll let that timer run out.
All right. I'm ready. I'm not looking.
Okay. Activity. Name three activities that make you hungry.
Sex, exercise, and fuck. See?
I think one time I answered that same question with saying eating. Eating makes me hungry.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah. All right. Name three things that pass through the body.
Drugs, endorphins, coffee.
I'd give you that one.
So, yeah, that's basically, you know, the structure of the game, and you just do that back and forth. It reminds me a lot, like, the format of, like, turns and everything reminds me of, like, Taboo.
Yeah, it has a very Taboo feel.
Yeah, it plays a lot like that, other than you're just trying to name things. And it doesn't seem to have the same restrictions of you can't name these things. At least
and
we didn't find
out. And
you don't
have to be on teams either. Like, it's an individual. Right, so.
Yeah, that's how we played it.
Yeah, you could do teams, but you don't have to.
Yeah, definitely a drinking game, in my opinion. Just similarly to Sparkle Kitty Nights.
Yeah, also very affordable.
Yeah.
I would say on our list that this is one of the ones that's closest, other than the other two we've mentioned. Because to me, Sparkle Kitty Nights and Unstable Unicorns are ones you can enjoy without being drunk or having other substances in your body. Whereas 5 Second Rule is kind of on that line. Like, you can almost play this without being drunk or having other substances, and it's fun. But you also probably will have more fun if you're trying to be intoxicated. I don't do very well with this game because I can't think that fast. So
yeah. Well, and what we noticed, I mean, because we played through like the whole damn pile of cards.
We did. We went through the whole deck.
Fortunately, they're double-sided, so we could play like the other sides of most of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we played through like the whole deck, and we actually kind of just found ourselves repeating things a lot. And so I think Jackie suggested murder like 15 times.
I did. Instead of being not safe for work because of its sexual content, it was not safe for work because
Jackie's
apparently
gonna murder
I'm very
everyone.
Angry. Deep down, I am a very angry person.
Is it really deep down, though?
I think so, because I don't think anybody would guess that about me.
Sure. So, 1 out of 10.
Honestly, I give this one like a 4.
A 4?
I give it like a 4.
Fair enough. So, to me, that's actually probably about where I'd put it. I had fun playing it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's fun.
But as far as designing a game,
it's incredibly basic.
There really wasn't game design that happened.
Yeah.
You know, and
basic, there's not much in here. There's not much in the box.
Well, and it's not fun enough to make up for that.
Yeah.
So like Cards Against Humanity, for example. Very much similar play style, but is a ton of fun. And makes up for the fact that it's not an in-depth strategy game or whatever, or you know, something that a ton of design work is put into. And it's entertaining on its own because of the content of the cards, while this game didn't really do that for me. Like, the content was like, oh, name three people to have sex with. Cool. I do that every day anyway. Like, that's like my morning routine.
Yeah.
So, that's all. I mean, like, it's fine. It's fun. But it's fun doesn't outweigh what it's lacking.
Exactly.
Okay, so saltiness?
Yeah. I would say it's not even on the saltiness scale because it's just one of those shout-out words type of games.
Yep.
And to me, that's really hard to get salty about.
And if you're getting salty about your inability to shout out words, I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. It's like, I don't know what game to suggest for you.
Jackie, three times? Maybe.
Thanks, Tisby.
We're not going to talk about that on stream, though. Our personal life and who we invite to the...
Just...
Thanksgiving dinner.
Just give me the next game.
Who
actually,
we invite
no,
to Thanksgiving dinner.
We talk a little bit about this.
Oh, yeah. So that's... Because we're done, right? Like, with games,
Kind of. We're not completely done because we're doing something a little bit different this time.
Are
so
these,
normally at this point...
Are these not safe for work?
Yep, they sure are.
Oh, okay.
So this time, instead of doing the RPG Corner, which we usually do at this time...
Oh, yeah, it's canceled.
We've decided to review a couple of games that we were sent in order to review that are also not safe for work games.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason we're skipping the RPG Corner is because literally every RPG can be not safe for work, depending on who you're playing with.
And if I'm playing, I can guarantee it's not safe for work.
Exactly. So it's like, pick an RPG. It's probably not safe for work.
Now, actually, though, I do... Okay, so I do actually have one to talk about, though, technically.
Oh, gosh.
I won't go into detail because I haven't been able to read it or look into it. Like, I know nothing about the game itself, just that it exists.
Okay, what's the game?
Tingleverse RPG.
What the hell is that?
So, acclaimed erotic author Chuck Tingle...
Oh, my God.
...came out with a role-playing game... For all the buckaroos that want to play around in his universe.
Oh, I asked.
Yeah, so, again, not going to spend time on it because I haven't seen it all, but I do know one of the people at Pawn and Pint is running a game for it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I don't think I'm going to participate in that, but I do want to look
into this. So clearly
there
are actual RPGs that are intended to be not safe for work. Yes. But yes, they can all go that way.
But yeah, so if you are familiar with Chuck Tingle and his work, look into it. If you are not familiar with Chuck Tingle, just go to the Wikipedia page and you'll learn all you need to know about Chuck Tingle. So
yes, we are also going to be skipping the Kickstarter highlight for this particular episode, partially because we did the interview and so we're running low on time. Also, we're a little irritated at Kickstarter at the moment, so there's that.
Unnamed crowdfunding platform.
Yes, so we're not doing crowdfunding highlight. And this week, so yes, we will be covering the two extra games that we were sent by Gray Matter Games.
They and on a side note,
so go ahead and hand me the other two games.
Don't tell me what to do.
Production assistant, do as I say.
I am producer on this one, not production assistant.
Production assistant.
Oh, this it's
is green.
Green.
So this is not working the way I would like it to.
That's great.
Maybe if I put it down here. Nope.
Nope. It's still green. It's still green. Just going to pick up all the green.
Oh, look. It almost looks okay right now if I almost. Don't move.
Yeah,
okay.
Just don't move. So this game is called Bad Moji, another card-driven party game. Each card has a set of emojis on the front. And the answer of the phrase on the back, cards worth various victory points based on the perceived difficulty of the word or phrase. To play the game, a host is selected, and the host reveals a card, and the rest of the players try to be the first to figure out the meaning of the emojis, and that person who gets it right gets the card. Very similar to Cards Against Humanity. After five cards have been guessed correctly, the host rotates, and play begins again. So once the host position has made a full rotation twice, everyone counts at their points, and the person with the most is the winner. So here's what I actually like about this description so far, because I have not played this game.
No, you have not.
Have you?
Yes, very briefly.
Okay, so from the description, though, there is actually a way to end the game.
There is. This is not one of those, when you get tired of it, order pizza and stop playing.
Right, is like every party game, or like nobody knows how to look up the rules for other party games and how it ends.
Yes.
That's what I enjoy about this so far, but tell me more, my love.
Well, first I'm going to start with a little bit about Gray Matter Games and why they're a very interesting company. So Gray Matter Games actually supports brain health by donating a meaningful portion of their profits to Alzheimer's research. And that's part of why they're called Gray Matter Games, is because they are using money from these games in order to help sponsor that research. So that is a really cool thing, which makes them definitely the kindest not safe for work games that we have on this podcast today. And then I was going to show you some of the cards. So they're literally emojis. Let's see if I can make it work.
There's green on
them. There's still green on that one. Okay. That one was Brazilian wax. It is and a candle.
Oh, wax. I get that. I would have gotten that, I'm sure.
So these are basically like pictographs.
Yeah, so...
There's green on all of these, but this one has less green.
Yeah, so like the actual emojis on that aren't green.
Yes.
A red circle plus nose.
Turns out, I think that's supposed to be brown.
Is it?
Because the word is brown noser.
Let me see that.
Supposedly brown.
That's fucking red.
That is red. But yes, and that's basically what it is. And then at the bottom of each one
of these...
Oh
my god, that card is terrible.
Yes.
I want to see it.
Okay. It won't show up on here because there's green. But yes, in the corner there's little point values. And so each one of these cards is worth different amounts of points. So after you've gotten the cards, you then add up your points at the end.
I don't think I can show this card on Twitch.
You can't.
That's why I wasn't going to.
Oh, boy. I can show the other one. That
here we go.
All right. Well, I already saw the answer, so I'm not going to guess.
It's a gold digger.
Get it? Because it's gold and a shovel.
Shovel. Gold digger. All right.
Do another one, and I'm going to try and guess without accidentally peeking.
Oh, let's not do that one.
Is that a very inappropriate one?
Yep. That one's probably okay.
All right. So is that... Hold on. So it's a chicken and a stop thing, or
yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
So I have no fucking clue.
A cock blocker.
Duh. You idiot. It's me. I'm the idiot.
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right, one more.
Okay, okay. This one's actually pretty hard, and it's worth 3
so
points.
So am I. Oh.
Oh, dang it. It's
green.
Actually, it's not. That's yellow.
Well, okay, so it's still kind of a chroma color. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
5 up. I can't tell what that
it
last
is...
thing is. Let me see the actual card.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, 5.
It's like a pay stub.
Oh, okay, 10% off is what it says.
Oh, yeah, so it's like a tag.
5 up tag. 5 up tag. Is that a word?
Mm-mm.
What does that mean?
It's not.
What is this, hieroglyphics?
They're pictographs. They're emojis.
What
they're
is this?
Bad emojis.
Sanskrit?
They're a bad emoji.
Nobody talks like this. Five finger discount.
Yep, you got it. Congratulations. You would have gotten 3 points for that one. So yeah, you do that, passing it back and forth until you have done 2 full rounds, which basically means each person has been the host twice, and that is the game. This is the perfect game for drunk people. I used to work at Pawn and Pint, and this would have been a great one to throw out on the table and be like, hey, try to figure out these emojis. Like, people would have
and
gone
crazy.
And
I'm constantly drunk, so this works.
He is not. And so this is
you don't know
a
me.
Super great game for that kind of setting. It's also a great game if you have a ton of people, because since it's team-based, or can be team-based, you can play with as many people as you want, so you don't have to worry about anybody feeling left out. My one critique of this game is I do feel like sometimes the jokes are a little forced, which is one of the reasons I think Cards Against Humanity always gets that like top spot of being the best party game, because all the jokes like flow really nicely. Nothing feels like they're trying too hard.
Well, yeah, it's just legitimately funnier.
Exactly. It's like, and some of these, it feels like they're trying too hard almost to be funny.
Yeah.
But
I get that.
It's still great. And highly recommend. It's also a very affordable game, and you can get it directly from Gray Matter Games' website. I think they are also available on Amazon.
Yay.
So what would you rate this on the like it scale, darling?
Well, I've never played it, so I'm not gonna. I'm gonna maintain my journalistic integrity.
Gotcha. I would put this one at a 6 on the like it scale, because it's definitely solid. It definitely has its place.
Definitely.
Depending on your gaming group, this is a fantastic game to have for your party game
definitely.
Nights. For me, it is not one that I would probably have hit the table very often. So
why are you hitting the table?
Because you dropped the box on
what
it.
What did the table ever do to you?
I don't know. Okay.
Apologize to the table for hitting it.
No. Anyway, Rude. So that is Bad Moji by Gray Matter Games. And then the last game we have to discuss. Oh, I forgot saltiness. Very low on the saltiness scale. Like
very low.
Zero.
Party games, non-existent.
Yeah.
Next.
Yep. So the next one is Ridiculous Expositions.
Ridiculous Expositions.
Ridiculous Expositions.
Yeah, so the game functions like Mad Gab. There is a timer and 2 sets of cards. Each set goes to a team. 2 teams are named Astastic and Bonerific. Incidentally, my catchphrase in high school. A card drawn from one team's deck is placed in front of the other team, not read aloud. And that team now has until the timer runs out to guess the word or pass for a chance at another card. But wait, there's a slight difference here than in your typical figure out what the word sounds like type of game. Each team also nominates a swing player. That player waits until the active team has run out of time, and then they get a chance to figure out all the cards the active team passed or got wrong. After 5 rounds, add up the points on the cards and determine a winner.
One of the things I really appreciate about this game right off the bat is that the cards are labeled phrase side and answer side. So when you're putting them back in the box, you know which way to face them because
what?
You always know which one you're grabbing.
What kind of sorcery is this?
I know. And look, you can see it like above the box line. So it's
such
super easy to tell.
Simple concept has taken us like 40 fucking years to figure out.
Like, that is a really great
feature. Thanks, Gray Matter. You know what? They are smarter than everybody else.
They are. They actually used their gray matter.
100%. I'll say it right now. They're not even paying me to say it.
And it's extra helpful that they did this because, unlike in Mad Gab, where you're, like, trying to read the thing off to the other team and see if they get it, in this case, you actually just pull the card and then just put it across the table so they can't see the answer on the back.
Yeah.
And so they just try to read it off themselves.
All right. So give me one.
Okay.
I saw that answer already on the back.
Oh, okay. I'll try a different one then.
Yeah, you gotta give me one that I didn't see the answer for. Duh.
Okay, close your eyes because I'm going to show the people on the internet.
Ah, jeez. What is it? Internet, tell me what it is.
Nope.
Whisper it in my ear.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
My nose is so itchy.
All right. I'll ask Ken Pipeline. Alaskan Pipeline.
Yeah, that's actually it. So they're not all necessarily dirty per se, but.
Well, I mean, an Alaskan pipeline, you know.
Is it?
Probably. Everything's a sexual term.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't see the answer, but I already know what it is. Foreskin.
Yep.
That's not hard.
Yeah. But yeah, so you get the idea. That is what the game does and how it functions.
Man, I would destroy everybody at this game. Holy
yeah,
shit.
I fail at this game horribly. But yes, I do also appreciate the difference of having the swing player, so it gives your team a couple extra chances.
You can call it the swinger and make it not more not safe for work.
Exactly. Call it the
swinger. I volunteer as tribute.
Of course you do. And that kind of gives it another level because it gives you extra opportunities to literally steal points from your opponents.
You know what I was just thinking?
What were you thinking?
Moist.
We're going to get kicked off the internet.
Oh, boy.
So, yes, that is...
Ooh, General Pillage says, I've been chosen to be the swinger. Wait.
Great. Okay, so that is Ridiculous Expositions. I would give this one... I'm also going to give this one a 6 on the Like It scale. Great party game. Once again, you can play it with a lot of people. It is another one of those that is better if you are intoxicated or under some sort of substance. Much better, in my opinion, under those considerations. Overall, very solid game. The words make sense. Good to go. And my husband just killed a fly.
It was a mosquito.
Well, it's dead now.
Yeah, very dead. Thank you, internet. Okay, I'm not going to weigh in much on this game because I've never played it, but it looks interesting, and I feel like I would crush literally any one of you at this game. So bring it on.
You probably would.
Ooh, we should bring it with us to NukeCon.
We should.
And I can school some scrubs on it.
Oh, that would be a great idea.
Over the age of 18.
Yes, definitely.
You'll have to make sure to do that. So, that is it.
Kind of it.
Well, I was going to get to that part.
Okay, fine. I'll let you get to that
Yes.
part.
So, we are pretty much done with the podcast part of this. So, thank you all for joining us today, but we have a very special Meeple Skills announcement for those of you that have stuck around the entire time.
We finally have t-shirts!
Meeple Skills t-shirts!
I'm going to try stand up.
Yes. As you can see on Jackie's lovely chest here, we have t-shirts featuring the Meeple Skills logo. What are they priced at, dear?
It is $20 for a regular t-shirt, and then, of course, there's other prices if you wanted something else.
Yes, yeah, because it's on TeePublic, correct?
It is. It is on TeePublic. I am posting the link right now.
Awesome sauce. And then I can actually pull them up on here, and we can show them off a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going to add some things here. Oh, okay. Excuse me. I didn't think far enough ahead to, like, do this ahead of time?
Of course. But yes, we do have t-shirts now. And right now, the only design we have is the logo. We've got some ideas for a couple other designs that we'll be adding soon. But if you feel so inclined, you can get your Meeple Skills t-shirt. It will look better than the one I'm actually wearing because this was the test run. We had some issues getting the correct size of graphic in order to be able to do this. This has been quite the process just to make a t-shirt. And so it will be centered and it will look better than the one I'm currently wearing. Come on,
you piece of crap.
Don't yell at the computer.
But it's not doing the thing I need to do.
It's just a computer.
I know, but I need it to do the thing. And it doesn't want to do it.
Well, if it doesn't want to do it, the link is there.
Yeah, people but I want to do it. Oh, whatever. It's an audio podcast. Who cares?
Exactly. I'm just kidding. Wearing it. So for those of you who are here, you got to see kind of how it's going to look, but better.
Yes. But yeah, so check it out. Get your Meeple Skills t-shirt today or tomorrow or like whenever you have money for it, man. We're not going to push you.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about free love.
Exactly.
You can find the podcast all over the internet on Twitter at MeepleSkillsPod and on Instagram at MeepleSkills. You can follow me directly on the Twitter at NerdMeat, Instagram at NerdMeat, Facebook NerdMeat Gaming, Jackie.
You can find me at Lucky Halfling on Twitter.
You got it right. I'm so proud of you.
I did. But most importantly, you can find the podcast at Meeple Skills for Instagram and Meeple Skills.
Said that part.
Yep, but that's the most important part.
That is the most important part, actually.
Take care of the Instagram. That's really the one thing that keeps going on Meeple Skills.
Pretty much.
So if you want to keep up with us, Instagram.
And then Alyssa, our fallen co-host, the late Alyssa Sexton.
She just was not feeling well today. She is not.
Oh, right. But she is on Instagram at Minty Fresh.
It's Minty Fresh. Gaming on Instagram, and it's Minty Fresh on Twitch.
I thought it was Minty Fresh Love on Twitch.
Oh, that's right. Minty Fresh Love on
Twitch. Yeah, we got you, fam. No worries.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't tune into the live stream of the podcast tonight, but I'll still love you anyway.
Anyway, also go to project-nerd.com to see all of our nerdy content.
Yeah, our link is down here.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go there for all kinds of articles and stuff. And, ow, I deserve that.
There's also a ton of other podcasts on the Project Nerd Network. You can check out The Weekly Geekly. You can check out Sexy Nerd Science.
Everything sexy, nerdy, and sciencey.
And also The Nerdcast, which is the flagship podcast for Project Nerd.
Which is interesting because I have never seen them at sea.
Oh, God. Most importantly, go to project-nerd.com and check out our PN Skate apparel line.
Oh, yeah. I think there's project-nerd.com/shop. I think you might be able to get some of that stuff.
It is. And then they also have at the very bottom of the shop is our Charities line.
Ooh,
and
yes.
All of the stuff bought from Charities actually goes, the profits go to charity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. So do those things. Do everything we tell you. We are people on the internet. Therefore, we are infallible.
Anyway, tune in next month, same time, second Thursday of the month at 8 o'clock. We will be covering some Gateway games.
Yes.
Because I realized that Alyssa hasn't played most of the Gateway games, and I find it very concerning that we are on a podcast together and she hasn't played a large majority of the games.
We're going to get you hooked on games. We are going to get you that first fix.
Ooh.
The first fix is free.
I lied. That's our November episode.
You! What?
I lied. I'm so sorry. That's the November episode.
Okay, what's the October episode then, Schmarty Panch?
Scary games.
Scary games. You hear that?
Because it's Halloween.
Because it's Halloween.
October.
Because it's October.
Yeah, the October one would be the Halloween episode. It should make a lot more sense.
What is this, amateur hour?
It is. I'm so sorry.
You have 8 previous podcasts under your belt. I expect better of you.
I'm just trying to plan ahead because the holidays are coming up and I have to coordinate stuff.
I forgot the holidays are coming up.
Yeah.
But Halloween's coming up.
Yeah, and that's the most important holiday.
Are you gonna wear a costume on that live stream?
Probably not.
Why not?
I don't own one.
Yes, you do.
Do I?
Yeah.
Which one? Oh,
your cosplay.
I have a cosplay. I might wear that one.
Yeah. And I'll wear my Halloween costume that I have.
I would prefer if you didn't.
I have a... It would go with this episode. I should have worn it today.
You should have.
I have a lab coat that says Dr. Woody Boner, Orgasm Donor.
Yep, he has that. He owns it.
I own that in my closet right now. Should I go put it on?
No. You're right. We need to sign off and let these wonderful people go. Oh, yeah.
Let these fine people go. Thank you so much for tuning in to Meeple Skills live on the internet. And if you are listening to the recording, why? Why not just join us when we're streaming? We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.